from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Gwen and Chris on, easily the... One of the top three most boring sports days of the year.
Thank you for saying top three now.
You're welcome. I put this one up for the most boring one, but you seem to think Wednesday or Thursday will make it be even tougher.
Thursday might be the toughest.
If you're the commissioner of the WNBA, you're halfway doing your job. I mean, you have Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese tonight. Like, at 6 o'clock on, ABC. I mean, it would be the one big event that everyone would want to watch. We want to watch it anyway.
I don't know.
But why not play it tonight? There's not a single WNBA game on a night when there's no baseball, no nothing.
I think that tells us everything we need to know about how many people watch the Home Run Derby. You just don't even want to compete with it. And I know you think that many people don't watch it, but I guarantee you more people would watch the Home Run Derby.
A lot of people watch the Home Run Derby because it's the only thing that is even on tonight. That's why.
I just don't.
If you gave us another choice to watch, say, a real competition between two really good, intriguing WNBA teams and players, we would watch. But they're not even putting it on. I think it's a mistake. The Home Run Derby is a bore. I don't know why you like it. Unless, like I said before, you're a big fan of fireworks. Because fireworks are the same as they were last year. We ooh and ah. Nothing different. Nothing new happens. Yet we go crazy for fireworks. Like we've never seen them before.
I know you are in the right place with this analogy. But that should also tell you everything you need to know. People just love these things. And there's maybe in your head no explanation for it. Right. And everybody's going to watch it.
Well, everybody enjoy the Home Run Derby. We'll talk about it. We'll give you the odds here in our Daily Gambit. I did want to add one thing to our visit with Kirk Kenny. There is news out of the Mountain West Conference football today.
Uh-oh.
Veteran coach Jeff Tedford stepped down at Fresno State because of health issues. He's 62 years old. There's really no discussion as to what the health issues are. Because of those, though, he did not coach in the team's bowl game last December. He was hoping to come back this year. He was present at the Mountain West Media Days last week in Las Vegas, said his health was okay. Apparently that is not the case. So Tedford is out. Tim Skipper. That's right, Tim Skipper.
Nice name.
Will be the new.
Guess he was born to be
interim
a coach.
He'll be the new interim skipper for Fresno State football.
Although he chose the wrong sport.
Yes, he should have gone into baseball. Yeah. Tim Skipper leads Fresno State. Kirk Kenny pointing out in a text exchange that with Tedford stepping out and Skipper stepping in, out of 12 teams in the Mountain West Conference, 8 of them have new coaches this year.
That's a lot.
And all, so that, and, along with all the transferring and the portals and the this, that, and the new starters on every – the conference has got to be just up for grabs. There's no way you could confidently predict who's going to come out on top.
Boise State, because of their bluegrass.
Because of the bluegrass. They're picked to win it. The Aztecs, by the way, were picked eighth.
Yes, I know.
And I couldn't ask Kirk Kenny about any of the Aztecs preseason all-conference players because they didn't have any.
Ooh.
The Aztecs did not get a single player on the preseason all-conference squad. No one.
That's not a good omen. But they can easily prove that wrong because it's
only the preseason because these guys
stuff.
Are transfers. Who knows how good a lot of them are?
Hey, Nima on the chat says, if a Padre was in it, Chris would feel different.
What's
the home
that?
Run derby.
The home run derby? I think so.
You would.
I really
would.
You wouldn't.
Would tune in for Fernando.
I wouldn't. I haven't tuned into him from before. I can't remember the last time a Padre was in it. I can't either, but I don't watch the home run derby. The only way I watch it is that I'm going to be sitting here tonight doing the show with you until 6 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock it's going to come on the TV, so you know, I'll glance up and see it. But
you're going to lose me for an hour.
Great.
No, just kidding.
How is that going to be different than the other hours of the show?
Oh, hey-o. There is a different rule set to this one, Chris. So the first
round
means
nothing to me because I couldn't tell you the rules before.
Well, it was a little weird where you do the 4 minutes thing, but now they have a maximum number of swings, and they also have the first round is not seeded. Like, after the first round, they seed everyone. So
awesome. Awesome. Can't wait.
Oh, Brandon said the last time Will Myers probably was in it. In 2016.
Will Myers made the home run derby?
Yeah, I remember when it was here, Petco.
No wonder I stopped watching it forever.
Oh, come on. Will Myers, I think, almost maybe won it. I don't remember. I shouldn't have said that.
Was he in the home run derby in 2016?
Yeah, I think Giancarlo
Will
Stanton.
Will Myers?
I don't think he
what was Will Myers
won
doing
it. Never mind.
It?
Because he was the Padres representative. Yeah, Will Myers didn't make it out of the first round. Oh, Adam Duvall beat him by one home run. But Giancarlo Stanton put on a show. He had 24 home runs in the first round, 17 in the second, and then 20 in the third.
Awesome. You know what? I can remember it. Not at all. Not at all.
You should get your head checked because that was only 8 years ago.
All right. Home run derby, odds and other things. There's just nothing. There's no games to predict tonight. There's no games to bet on tonight. So we're just going to have to make do with our daily gambit one way or another.
Like money.
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Now, has Aaron Judge ever done the Home Run Derby before?
When he asked me, I don't know. Nor do I.
I don't remember these
nor
things.
Nor do I care.
But I don't remember if he's ever done the... I don't know if he's ever done it, but you know, if we're talking about the slam dunk competition being something that
it's
has
not.
Fallen away,
yes, it's
then
gone.
Then baseball needs to get guys like Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, guys that are hitting 40 home runs in the first
half.
Yes,
but they can't make them do it.
Pay them. You got the money, baseball.
It.
Give them $100,000. I think they'll go play for $100,000 or
these
hit for
guys
$100,000.
Don't want to do it.
I know. It really kind of annoys me in that regard that. Some of the biggest names are just like, yeah, I don't really care. It's all good. All right, last week's bets. The Phoenix Mercury were 2.5-point favorites on Friday over the Indiana Fever. We both chose the Fever, and the Fever won by 9, 95-86.
What are you talking about?
On Friday?
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, geez. Caitlin Clark over under 18.5 points. We both went over. We were both correct. She had 20 points. She had 20 points and 13 assists. So
she's having some big games all of a sudden. Yeah. Angel Reese's double-double streak got snapped, by the way, over the weekend. And
oh, it did. I didn't know that.
I don't know if you saw this, but she had 8 points. Angel Reese did. She needed, you know, one more basket.
Uh-huh.
And on the final possession, they passed it into her. And the New York Liberty surrounded her with four defenders and would not let her get a shot off.
Really?
And I think some people were really upset about that. Here's my thinking. It meant everything in the world to Angel Reese to keep that streak alive.
Yeah.
She did everything and then some to keep the streak going. So it's only fair that somebody else did everything and then some to try to stop it. And they did.
Yeah.
She couldn't get the last shot off.
I was reading about a
surrounded
lot of
her
stat
with four
padding.
Players.
Stat padding over over the weekend. They were saying, because you guys were saying it too, like she was just tipping in her own rebounds or tipping her own rebounds.
Well, look, you know, that's risky.
It is risky.
That's risky.
All right, next one would be the Aces and the Dream on Friday. The Aces were 14.5-point favorites, and guess what? You picked Atlanta, the Dream. I picked the Aces. Aces won by 14, 84-70, so they did not cover the spread.
That's right. I win by the hook.
Now, Paolini and Krejcikova, I think her name is.
Krejcikova.
Wow, yes. That is way different than what I thought it was. It was over under 22.5 games, and I'm just counting up now. 26 games. So we both, or I went under, you went over. You were correct in that one.
And Krejcikova, the 31st seed, won Wimbledon. Beat my pal Paolini in the final.
Are you okay?
I survived it all right. But I like Paolini. She's been to the final of the French Open and Wimbledon. Young player from Italy. But lost both finals, unfortunately.
The Djokovic and Alcaraz, they had their final. And Alcaraz was favored in this one by 2.5. We both picked the Joker to win. It didn't matter, though. Because
it was a dumb pick because the Joker, I think, you know, the knee surgery finally caught up with him.
I mean, when you play, he played a really good player.
That's right. Well, that's what I'm saying. When you play somebody like Alcaraz, you got to have everything working. And I don't think the Joker had it all working. So.
No, Alcaraz won 6-2, 6-2, 7-6.
6-2, 6-2. 7-6 is more like it. I don't recall ever seeing Djokovic lose 6-2, 6-2. Like, ever. Like,
really?
No, not two sets in a row like that. That was pretty weird.
That is pretty weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have paid attention to the knee surgery, too, but I didn't. So I bet on the Joker to finish it and had him saying, have a good night. Yes. But it didn't work for him. Did not work for him. All right. The Copa America final, Argentina, 0.5 goal favorite over Colombia. We both chose Argentina. And we both won, Chris. It was 1-0.
1-0.
Spain and England.
It's a surprising final score for a soccer match, isn't it? 1-0?
I think for a final, yeah, that's a little surprising.
Really?
For a final,
you think
I
that's
say.
Surprising?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't find it to be surprising for
you
a
don't
final
feel,
score
okay.
of soccer.
Now, the other one was the Euro. Is it the Euro Cup? Is that what I'm saying?
Copa America.
No. We just did Copa America.
Oh, that was Copa America. Yeah, the Euro Cup final between Spain and jolly old England.
Yes, and you took England. I took Spain. Spain ended up, they were 0.5 goal favorites over England, and they won 2-1. So I went.
Spain won in the late going there.
Yes.
The 80 something minute.
All right. That's it for last week.
We both went 4-3 in Friday's picks. But I will point out for the week last week, 16-8 for me, 12-12 for you.
So, I'll take 500 every day of the week.
You got it. That's what you got.
All right, let's talk about my favorite event of today, the Home Run Derby. You like how I limit it to
today? All right,
today?
I've got four bets we can make.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I came up with stuff.
I don't want to do...
Came up with it.
I don't want to do...
Too bad.
Australian cricket bets.
Come back. Come up with... I came up with it, so
all right.
You're going to have to do it.
Home Run Derby 2024 winner. Favorite? Pete Alonso, +320. Marcelo Zuna, +425. Gunnar Henderson, +425. Bobby Witt Jr., +425. I can't ever remember if this guy's name is Adolis or Adolis. But I'll say Garcia.
Adelis.
Adelis Garcia plus 600. Teoscar Hernandez plus 1,100. Jose Ramirez plus 1,400. And Alec Bohm plus 1,800.
Now, so Alec Bohm is the longest shot on the board?
He has the least amount of home runs on the board with 11. Which I did think Alec Bohm was kind of a strange thing, but I'll give him credit. He's actually doing it. So.
Yeah. I mean, they just got to find eight guys that will want to do it.
I don't care who it is. Like, even though Gunnar Henderson is a really good hitter and he's hit a ton of home runs,
mm-hmm.
I think he's too small. Like, I don't know that he can just keep mashing home runs forever and ever and ever. Same with Bobby Witt Jr.
I hate to keep saying the same answer to every one of your questions about the home run derby, but I just simply don't care.
Okay. Bobby Witt Jr., same thing. Not sure that he's going to hit a bunch of home runs. I think he's going to hit home runs. A bunch of them? I don't know. I'm going to have to go with Adelis Garcia as being the winner. It's his home park.
Adelis Garcia.
He's got to put it on a show. I'm going to go with him at plus 600. I think those odds are pretty good.
6-1 odds.
Yeah.
All right, good for you. I'll let you bet for the both of us on that.
All right, I'm going to have you pick Alec Bohm at plus 1,800. No, I'm going to have you pick one of your favorite guys ever, Marcell Ozuna.
What are you giving me him for?
Because you said I could pick for you.
I don't like Marcell Ozuna.
All right, you're going with Pete Alonso. You're taking the...
No, I said... No. No, I'm going with you.
Oh, you're going with
me. Yeah, you said Adelis Garcia, and I said you can... That's my pick, too. You can pick for me, is what I meant. It was I'll take what you're picking.
Yes, that was... Okay. Misunderstood by me. But there you go. There are the odds for that. The Home Run Derby, which starts at 5, and we'll be talking about it.
Awesome. All right, we better go to break.
Wait, I thought your bets.
I do, but we're out of time, so they're not that important.
Okay.
Do you really want Champions League soccer qualifying tomorrow?
No.
Between HJK Helsinki?
No.
And FK Panzevies?
Sorry, no.
That's all I got.
Okay.
So we're going to take a day off, give our pocketbooks a rest. More Gwen and Chris after traffic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Very much appreciate y'all tuning into the program today. 3:24 is the time. Chris Ello here, Matt Scraby there, Tony Gwynn Jr., Idol. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, who is the worst all-star team you could pick this year? In other words, the all-star game coming up tomorrow. What's the opposite? The all non-star team, no star team.
I don't know.
I guess that's what it'd be.
I mean, are you saying the guys that... Because I could pick about 100 players that don't deserve to be on the All-Star team.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go by the worst player at each position in the first half of the season.
Okay.
And there's some really good players on this list. Like, there was a bunch of guys that are, quote, really good that were awful the first half of the season. That's coming up. Also, Scraby and I give you our... three biggest surprise teams and biggest disappointments in the first half of the season. A couple of all-star notes for you. Corbin Burns, named the starting pitcher for the American League.
Oh, I'm so happy that someone deserving is starting for one of the two teams.
All right. You and your hatred of Paul Skeens.
I don't hate Paul Skeens. I just think the hype is unreal.
After the picking of Paul Skeens, which people are looking forward to, the American League decided to go decidedly boring and yawn with Corbin Burns. Like, nobody cares about Corbin Burns starting this game. Everybody wants to tune in and watch Paul Skeens.
See, why are you saying
I'm
wrong? You keep putting words into people's mouth. They don't like the Home Run Derby. Yes, they do. I have not met one person that is like, I will be in front of my TV for Paul Skeens and Paul Skeens only. I don't know anybody like that.
You know me.
If you're tuning in for Paul Skeens, you're one of the sheep out there that's falling for the bait.
I haven't seen him pitch yet.
Well, that's your fault. He's pitched 11 times this year.
This is my first time to watch him tomorrow night. Looking forward to it.
I don't hate Paul Skeens. I just think the hype is unreal. Should he have been an all-star? Yes, he should have been an all-star. Should he get all of the fanfare that he's getting? No, he should not be.
Not his fault that he's getting it. And baseball needs somebody to latch on to right about now. By the way, some additions to the All-Star team. If you missed it, Kyle Finnegan, named to the National League roster. He replaces Ryan Helsley of the Cardinals.
What happened to him?
I don't know. Doesn't want to be in it, I guess. I don't know what everybody... Everybody's got an issue one way or the other. Christopher Sanchez, Phillies got on. Hunter Green, Cincinnati got in. Teoscar Hernandez is moving into the starting lineup to replace Fernando. On the American side, Andres Munoz, former Padre, got added. Anthony Santander got added. Jordan Westberg, Willie Castro, the Twins. And the final addition to the American League All-Star roster, Corey Seager.
Really? He's going to make it?
He could win the
MVP
of the All-Star game tomorrow. Rob Manfred could reprise his interview down at Globe Life Field with Corey Seager.
I absolutely need a Corey Seager.
You would live for that.
Oh, yeah. If that happened,
that would make the whole All-Star game right there.
Yes, it would. Absolutely. 100% agree.
All right. You know what I haven't seen yet for the game? Starting lineups. Normally, the Monday before the All-Star.
They've been out for like 8 hours.
They have?
Yes.
Like the batting order?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it. Where is Profar batting?
Ninth.
What?
I believe he's ninth.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding.
They put him last?
I guess.
Who did this?
Who did this, he says.
Oh, our guy from the Diamondbacks did this.
Torrey Lovello.
Torrey!
I'm looking at the lineups.
You're killing me.
Okay, here they are. For the National League,
he is batting last.
Ketel Marte.
Come on!
Putting a Diamondback up front, that's why. Ketel Marte is batting first. Otani second. Trey Turner third. Bryce Harper fourth. William Contreras fifth. Christian Yelich sixth. Alec Bohm seventh. Teoscar Hernandez eighth. Jerickson Profar is ninth. And then on the AL side, Kwan, Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Ramirez, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Adley Rutschman, and Marcus Semien.
I'm beside myself in anger right now.
Why?
The next time the Diamondbacks come to town, I am booing the living crap out of my man, Torrey Lovello. Jerickson Profar is having like the MVP season of the National League. Deserves a whole lot better than batting ninth.
Isn't a ninth a good spot for him?
No.
Why not?
Means they consider him to be the worst, most undeserving member of that team.
They would like for him to drive in the runs at the end of the lineup, Chris.
Oh, listen to you.
They need
Mr. You Think You Know Baseball.
It's 7-8-9. They need him to drive in.
Ninth is the worst spot you can be. You're the worst hitter on the team. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, Jacob is right. I mean, someone has to bat ninth, Chris.
Well, why Jerickson Profar? Bat your own guy ninth. Ketel Marte stinks.
Didn't you just say he was good last week?
It's all right. Not having a better year than Jerks and Profar.
I'm more offended that Teoscar Hernandez is starting over Jackson Merrill because Jackson Merrill's an actual center fielder.
Okay.
Ketel Marte has been on fire as of late. He's hit more home runs than Jerkson.
Good. It's break time.
What, already?
I've been looking forward to
what
that.
What the heck? This show is like going so fast.
Been looking forward to that. More baseball when we come back, including the all no-star team for the first half of the season. Stick around. You can say a lot of things about me, Scrape, but I get the beat.
You what?
I get the beat.
Are you a musician?
No, but I still get the beat.
I definitely do not.
If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's. Authentic Mediterranean cuisine. The best in Coronado, La Jolla. Also at Petco Park for dining takeout options. Visit SpirosCuisine.com. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Working our way through an off day in not just Padre baseball, but pretty much an off day in all of sports. The Home Run Derby does start in 90 minutes for those that are that excited about
me,
it.
Me.
Well, enjoy. The fireworks that come with it in Texas tonight. Coming up in this segment, Scraby's going to play a little baseball music. I don't know what you've got.
We got to go to traffic first.
Well, I'm just going to tell everybody what's coming up after traffic. Yeah. We're going to take a look at the no-star team for Major League Baseball. I am shocked at some of the names that were that bad in the first half of the season.
There are some big names.
Some really big names were really, really bad. But first, let's check traffic.
this is
that's all you
the
got,
most
huh?
baseball music I got.
That's what you got.
Oh, I guess I could go. I think Braden may have something else that's better.
I mean, honestly, with all due respect to that organist, whoever you recorded that from.
I didn't record it from anyone.
They just put the entire stands to sleep with that.
Why? What are you talking about? This is what we get all the time.
It's a shame.
That's sad. You know what? Yesterday I was at the game.
Yeah.
People are still into the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah.
Very into it. Are you happy with this music?
All right, that charges things up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, here's my all no-star team for Major League Baseball. First half of the season. These guys, I really can't believe how bad they are. And it gets worse when we get to the outfield. But I'm going to start at first base. Joey Meneses, Washington Nationals. Actually, not even with them anymore.
What?
Been sent to the minor leagues.
Oh, I thought you meant they, like, released them.
They kind of have. Three home runs. He's a major league starting first baseman. 231 average, 593 OPS, the third lowest in baseball. Joey Meneses. At second base, former batting champion, Jeff McNeil.
Oh, yeah, good one.
The dirt bag from Long Beach State, now with the Mets.
Everybody stops for a second. Did he just say it? Oh, okay, Long Beach State.
Right. Jeff McNeil, former batting champ,
yeah,
hit .216 the first half this season with only 24 RBIs, a .591 OPS.
Yeah, things did not go right for
really
him.
Bad. Shortstop. I got two guys here, but the bigger name of the guys that was horrible in the first half, Bo Bichette.
Oh, yeah.
Last year's batting champ. This year, four home runs, .222 batting average for Bo Bichette.
That's not good.
I mean, he wasn't just bad for like a little thing. He was bad the entire first half, all the way through. The only guy worse than him was Atlanta Braves shortstop Orlando Arcia, whose .577 OPS is the lowest in all of baseball. But Bichette's right there. In fact, I probably would just go with Bichette because he's a bigger name than Arcia.
I mean, they've been hyping him ever since last year. It did not work out for him this year. Hopefully he can do something better.
And everybody's
better.
Talking about, why? We've got to trade for Bo Bichette. What for?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
like,
too.
Like, Toronto's out of it, so we got to trade for Bo Bichette. Get Bo Bichette. Get, please, Bo Bichette.
Yeah.
Who wants Bo Bichette hitting .222?
Not sure either.
With four home runs.
Not sure either.
Third base, Osvaldo Cabrera, the Yankees. Always fun to get a Yankee in here. Cabrera lost his job for a time after five home runs in a 238 first half. Justin Turner's also on that list. Although he played more first base, Justin Turner, five home runs, 231.
Is he being brought in for, though?
Well, he was being brought in to be somewhat of a semblance of what he used to be, and that didn't happen for the Toronto Blue Jays. The outfield is especially star-studded.
Yeah,
on the no-star team.
Bad this year.
Let's start with the left fielder on the no-star team. How about Randy Arozarena?
That's a good one. I had him in mind.
202. Does have 12 home runs, but only 31 RBIs. I mean, Arozarena was basically heading for stardom if he wasn't already there.
Yeah.
And he's just barely over the 200 mark. Center fielder, this guy is like supposed to be the best player in all of baseball. Instead, he's Julio Rodriguez, 10 home runs, only 35 RBIs, 267 average. By the way, he seemed to get most of that last week in San Diego.
I was just about to say. Did he play the Padres the entire season? Because he is an all-star.
Yeah, because he got most of that here. He's got only a .318 on-base percentage. And mix in 110 strikeouts.
Mm.
The right fielder might be the worst of all.
Give me the team.
No-star team. Because this guy, I wouldn't be surprised if you looked at some preseason publications that had him as NL MVP. And he's not only not the MVP, he might be the LVP, the least valuable player in baseball.
In the National League.
Five home runs, two of which he hit the other night. He only had three home runs till then. .212 batting average. The third lowest OPS for all outfielders in baseball. We're talking about Corbin Carroll.
Ah.
Really an awful first half for him.
Five home runs.
Yeah, but two of them, as I said, were the other night. My catcher, I didn't have a great catcher. So I thought I'd go with Cal Raleigh, Seattle. He's got 20 homers. Seems like you wouldn't put him on a no-star team, but he only has like 20 other hits. He's hitting .216 with 118 Ks and a .299 on base.
And one of those home runs was a deep shot.
Two of them in one game.
Oh, he hit two?
Against the Padres last week.
One of those home runs of my mind.
Starting pitchers... You want the righty or the lefty?
Let's go, because I'm a righty, let's go righty.
Righty Pablo Lopez, Minnesota Twins. He's got eight wins, but a horrifying 5.11 ERA. One of the worst in baseball among pitchers who qualify. 18 home runs he's allowed, fifth most. Left-hander, and I only didn't pick Blake Snell because he's had so many injuries.
Yeah.
But Blake... And because we like him, but man, he really was bad when he pitched.
Yeah. Well, he almost had a perfect game yesterday, I think.
I know.
He went into like the sixth, I think.
I know. But the worst lefty in baseball is just the worst pitcher in baseball. And he is...
Patrick Corbin?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
He's got a 1-9 record. He's got the worst ERA of any pitcher in baseball, 5.57. And he's got the highest whip, 1.54. He simply is, statistically, the worst pitcher in baseball. He makes $35 million a year.
Mm.
Thank you.
It's coming to an end soon.
Wow. Reliever, I went with Michael Kopech of the White Sox.
He just had an immaculate inning.
That's about all he's done. He's 2-8 with a 5.05 ERA, which is not great for a... closer.
No, that's not great at all for closer.
That's my no-star team. There might be some other guys who, you know, deserve spots. But that's, I mean, you know, when you consider, right, if you drafted your fantasy team this year and you got Corbin Carroll, Julio Rodriguez, and Bo Bichette.
You're feeling pretty good.
And Randy Arozarena, you'd say, hey, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
I'm on my way, man. Those are my first four picks. I'm good.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And, man,
why do you think it's
not good.
Why do you think guys fall off like they do? Like Corbin Carroll.
Corbin Carroll's hard to explain. I think Julio Rodriguez was explained pretty well by the writer we had on from Seattle last week. Yeah, said that he started tinkering with his swing and tried to, you know, be a little more powerful. And he just said, he wrecked a good thing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And he tried to fix it. And he's never been able to figure it out.
Except for if he plays in Petco Park.
Except for the 4-for-4 game he had in Petco Park.
Yes, correct.
All right, we got
it's
a few minutes
left. Pretty good team.
It's a pretty good team, but in reality, it's a pretty bad team.
Well, yes.
Because they all stink right now. All right, what do you have for most disappointing teams in baseball? Let's start there.
Okay.
And I want you to rate it from 3 to 2 to 1.
And 1 is most disappointing?
1 is the most disappointing team in baseball in your eyes.
Okay.
All right, so who's the third most disappointing team in baseball to you?
I will say the Cubs. And the reason
Cubs.
I say the Cubs is because they hired...
Craig Counsell?
Yes, thank you. I forgot his name for a second. They hired him. Everybody thought the Cubs were going to be a NL Central contender. They are in last place right now, and they are in last place behind the Reds. Pirates have a better record. The Cardinals have a better record. The Brewers have a better record. And the Cubs have went from a playoff team to a no-playoff team real quick. So I'll say the most disappointing is the Cubs.
Third most.
Dansby Swanson could be put on that list of disappointing players.
If it wasn't for Bo Bichette, he might have
been. Yeah, 212.
I had the Cubs also.
Really?
As my third most disappointing team. They're 47-51. They're last in that division. They're 8.5 games out of first place, despite Craig Counsell and everything he was supposed to do for them. The one thing I will say for the Cubs, though, despite having a better record in the National League or a worse record in the National League than every other team besides the Marlins, Nationals, and Rockies, the Cubs are only 3.5 games out of a wild card spot.
That is true.
That's how crazy the National League is right now.
Yeah.
But I place the Cubs third most disappointing. All right, who do you have second most disappointing?
My second most disappointing team would have to be the Rangers, coming off of a World Series title. They just have not played well all season long, and we kind of saw it when the Padres played them. But Garcia's not hitting. Just things have not worked for them this year. And so I'm going to say the Rangers are my second most disappointing team.
Man, you must have looked at my list. I got the Rangers also, number two.
Whoa.
Second most disappointing team in baseball. They are the World Series champs. They're also 4 games under 500. They're an 8th wild card race. That means there's 6 teams between them and getting in.
Yeah.
They're 7.5 behind. But the one thing I'll say for the Rangers, they won 7 of the last 10. And they're only 5 back of Seattle in the division. But yeah, Texas has to be the second most. All right, so if you have the first most and the same as me, then that's crazy. Who's your most disappointing team in baseball right now?
I'm tempted to say the Padres, but I'm not going to put them on the list.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say it's either between the Blue Jays or the Rays for me.
You can't go with the Padres when they've won about as many games as they were picked to win. Go ahead. Who's your most disappointing team?
My most disappointing team would have to be the Rays. The Rays are in it every single year. The Rays always have a great record. The Rays are always at the top of the AL East. Not this year. They have been struggling this year. And Randy Arozarena is leading those struggles. So when your superstars struggle, your team's going to struggle. I'm going to say the Rays.
Tampa Bay, the most disappointing team in baseball, despite a record of 48-48. I will say this. They are minus 63 in run differential.
That's
which is
huge.
Pretty poor.
That is poor.
For a team of their normal capabilities.
Their XWL is 41-55. Meaning,
oh, my God.
Meaning
whatever that is.
They should be 41-55 according to the run differential.
Wow. My most disappointing team, you're going to laugh. The Atlanta Braves are the most disappointing team in baseball in the first half of the season. I realize
I'm going to laugh because I considered them, but they're second place. They're in the wild card.
They're 8.5 games behind the Phillies in a division that they are expected to win by 25 games. The Braves' over-under numbers this year were right around 100 wins. Now, I know that they've had injuries, but that's part of the disappointment. Certainly losing Spencer Strider before it all started.
Yep.
Losing Ronald Acuna. Being without Michael Harris and whoever else, the Braves are my most disappointing team in the first half.
Well, if I knew I could pick a team that's already in the playoffs, I may have picked the Braves, but
right.
I mean, there are plenty of disappointing teams this year.
All right, who do we have for the biggest surprise teams in baseball. And we'll start with you again. Who do you have as the third most surprising team in the first half?
I would say the third most surprising team in the first half would be the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Pirates, the Pirates.
The Pirates, even though Paul Skeens is on their team and I apparently can't stand anything to do. I'm being mislabeled as a Paul Skeens hater. I am not.
You never say anything nice about the guy.
I am not a Paul Skeens the person hater. I am Paul Skeens portrayed in the media hater.
Okay.
Pirates, 48-48. They've been fighting all year. They've won 7 out of their last 10. I think Paul Skeens has reinvigorated that franchise. So, I didn't expect them to be 500 at the break, so I'm going to say them.
Pirates are only a game and a half out of a wild card spot. That's pretty good for the Pirates.
That's very good for the Pirates.
My third most surprising team in baseball this year is the Boston Red Sox, who have the same record as my most disappointing team, the Atlanta Braves. The Red Sox are 53-42. Did not expect them to be in contention this year. They've won 7 of the last 10. If you look at most of the preseason AL East prognostications, Boston was dead last. They're anything but that. As a matter of fact, they're in the playoffs if they started today. They also have the second most road wins in all of baseball.
Wow.
They've won 29 games in a row. Only the Yankees have won more.
That's a lot.
I'll take the Red Sox as my third most surprising team. Who do you have number two?
Looking at the standings real quick, the Yankees are still 18 games over 500. If I were to, because I haven't really looked at the standings, I'm being dead serious. If I were to look at these standings and or look at what the Yankees fans have been saying, I would be like, what are you guys complaining about? I didn't realize time was going so fast, so I'm going to say my, should we carry this over, Chris?
Yeah, we'll all have right. Our top two Sorry. Most surprising teams in baseball when we come back.
What is this, a holiday? It's not a holiday, is it? It feels like a holiday.
See if anybody wants to play some Chris versus the fans out there. Win some trivia prizes. 833-288-0973. Today might be a good day to call because I just have a feeling there's going to be some lines wide open. As Gwen and Chris continues.
this is all you the got, most huh? baseball music I got.
That's what you got.
Oh, I guess I could go. I think Braden may have something else that's better.
I mean, honestly, with all due respect to that organist, whoever you recorded that from.
I didn't record it from anyone.
They just put the entire stands to sleep with that.
Why? What are you talking about? This is what we get all the time.
It's a shame.
That's sad. You know what? Yesterday I was at the game.
Yeah.
People are still into the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah.
Very into it. Are you happy with this music?
All right, that charges things up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, here's my all no-star team for Major League Baseball. First half of the season. These guys, I really can't believe how bad they are. And it gets worse when we get to the outfield. But I'm going to start at first base. Joey Meneses, Washington Nationals. Actually, not even with them anymore.
What?
Been sent to the minor leagues.
Oh, I thought you meant they, like, released them.
They kind of have. Three home runs. Three home runs. He's a major league starting first baseman. 231 average, 593 OPS, the third lowest in baseball. Joey Meneses. At second base, former batting champion, Jeff McNeil.
Oh, yeah, good one.
The dirt bag from Long Beach State, now with the Mets.
Everybody stops for a second. Did he just say it? Oh, okay, Long Beach State.
Right. Jeff McNeil, former batting champ,
yeah,
hit .216 the first half this season with only 24 RBIs, a 591 OPS.
Yeah, things did not go right for
really
him.
Bad. Shortstop. I got two guys here, but the bigger name of the guys that was horrible in the first half, Bo Bichette.
Oh, yeah.
Last year's batting champ. This year, four home runs, .222 batting average for Bo Bichette.
That's not good.
I mean, he wasn't just bad for like a little. He was bad the entire first half, all the way through. The only guy worse than him was Atlanta Braves shortstop Orlando Arcia, whose .577 OPS is the lowest in all of baseball. But Bichette's right there. In fact, I probably would just go with Bichette because he's a bigger name.
Yeah,
than
I mean, they've been hyping him ever since last year. It did not work out for him this year. Hopefully, he can do something.
And everybody's
better.
Talking about why we got to trade for Bo Bichette. What for?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like
too.
Toronto's out of it, so we got to trade for Bo Bichette. Get Bo Bichette. Get please Bo Bichette.
Yeah.
Who wants Bo Bichette hitting .222?
Not sure either.
With four home runs.
Not sure either.
Third base, Osvaldo Cabrera, the Yankees. Always fun to get a Yankee in here. Cabrera lost his job for a time after five home runs in a .238 first half. Justin Turner's also on that list. Although he played more first base. Justin Turner, five home runs, .231.
What
time.
Is he being brought in for, though?
Well, he was being brought in to be somewhat of a semblance of what he used to be, and that didn't happen for the Toronto Blue Jays. The outfield is especially star-studded.
Yeah, the
outfield's on the no-star team.
Bad this year.
Let's start with the left fielder on the no-star team. How about Randy Arozarena?
That's a good one. I had him in mind.
.202. Does have 12 home runs, but only 31 RBIs. I mean, Arozarena was basically heading for stardom if he wasn't already there.
Yeah.
And he's just barely over the 200 mark. Center fielder, this guy is like supposed to be the best player in all of baseball. Instead, he's Julio Rodriguez, 10 home runs, only 35 RBIs, .267 average. By the way, he seemed to get most of that last week in San Diego.
I was just about to say. Did he play the Padres the entire season? Because
no kidding,
he is an all-star.
Yeah, because he got most of that here. He's got only a .318 on-base percentage and mix in 110 strikeouts.
Mm.
The right fielder might be the worst of all.
Give me the team.
No-star team. Because this guy... I wouldn't be surprised if you looked at some preseason publications that had him as NL MVP. And he's not only not the MVP, he might be the LVP, the least valuable player in baseball.
In the National League.
Five home runs, two of which he hit the other night. He only had three home runs till then. .212 batting average, the third lowest OPS for all outfielders in baseball. We're talking about Corbin Carroll.
Ah.
Really an awful first half for him.
Five home runs.
Yeah, but two of them, as I said, were the other night. My catcher, I didn't have a great catcher, so I thought I'd go with Cal Raleigh, Seattle. He's got 20 homers. Seems like you wouldn't put him on
a
no-star team, but he only has like 20 other hits. He's hitting .216 with 118 Ks and a .299 on base.
And one of those home runs was a deep shot.
Two of them in one game.
Yo, he
against
hit two?
The Padres last
I
week.
I guess I put out one of those home runs of my mind.
Starting pitchers, you want the righty or the lefty?
Let's go, because I'm a righty, let's go righty.
Righty Pablo Lopez, Minnesota Twins. He's got eight wins, but a horrifying 5.11 ERA. One of the worst in baseball among pitchers who qualify. 18 home runs he's allowed, fifth most. Left-hander, and I only didn't pick Blake Snell because he's had so many injuries.
Yeah.
But Blake, and because we like him, but man, he really was bad when he pitched.
Yeah. He almost had a perfect game yesterday, I think.
I know.
He went into like the sixth, I think.
I know. But the worst lefty in baseball is just the worst pitcher in baseball. And he is...
Patrick Corbin?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
He's got a 1-9 record. He's got the worst ERA of any pitcher in baseball, 5.57. And he's got the highest whip, 1.54. He simply is, statistically, the worst pitcher in baseball. He makes $35 million a year.
Mm.
Thank you.
It's coming to an end soon.
Wow. Reliever, I went with Michael Kopech of the White Sox.
He just had an immaculate inning.
That's about all he's done. He's 2-8 with a 5.05 ERA, which is not great for a closer.
No, that's not great at all for a closer.
That's my no-star team. There might be some other guys who, you know, deserve spots. But that's, I mean, you know, when you consider, right, if you drafted your fantasy team this year and you got Corbin Carroll, Julio Rodriguez, and Bo Bichette.
You're feeling pretty good.
And Randy or Rosarena, you'd say, really, I'm good. On my way.
Yeah.
I'm on my way, man. Those are my first four picks. I'm good.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And, man,
why do you think
it's not good?
Why do you think guys fall off like they do? Like Corbin Carroll. Like, I mean,
Corbin Carroll's hard to explain. I think Julio Rodriguez was explained pretty well by the writer we had on from Seattle
Ryan
last week. Yeah. Said that he started tinkering with his swing and tried to, you know, be a little more powerful. And he just said he wrecked a good thing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And he tried to fix it. And he's never been able to figure it out.
Except for if he plays in Petco Park.
Except for the 4-for-4 game he had in Petco Park.
Yes, correct.
All right, we got
it's
a few
pretty good team. Pretty good team.
It's a pretty good team, but in reality, it's a pretty bad team.
Well, yes.
Because they all stink right now. All right, what do you have for most disappointing teams in baseball? Let's start there.
Okay.
And I want you to rate it from 3 to 2 to 1.
And one is most disappointing?
One is the most disappointing team in baseball in your eyes.
Okay.
All right, so who's the third most disappointing team in baseball to you?
I will say the Cubs. And
the
reason I say the Cubs is because they hired...
Craig Counsell?
Yes, thank you. I forgot his name for a second. They hired him. Everybody thought the Cubs were going to be a NL Central contender. They are in last place right now, and they are in last place behind the Reds. Pirates have a better record. The Cardinals have a better record. The Brewers have a better record. And the Cubs have went from a playoff team to a no-playoff team real quick. So I'll say the most disappointing is the Cubs.
Third most.
Dansby Swanson could be put on that list of disappointing players.
If it wasn't for Bo Bichette, he
might have
been.
212.
I had the Cubs also.
Really?
As my third most disappointing team. They're 47-51. They're last in that division. They're 8.5 games out of first place, despite Craig Counsell and everything he was supposed to do for them. The one thing I will say for the Cubs, though, despite having a better record in the National League, or a worse record in the National League than every other team besides the Marlins, Nationals, and Rockies, the Cubs are only 3.5 games out of a wild card spot.
That is true.
That's how crazy the National League is right now.
Yeah.
But I place the Cubs third most disappointing. All right, who do you have second most disappointing?
My second most disappointing team would have to be the Rangers, coming off of a World Series title. They just have not played well all season long, and we kind of saw it when the Padres played them. But Garcia's not hitting. Just things have not worked for them this year. And so I'm going to say the Rangers are my second most disappointing team.
Man, you must have looked at my list. I got the Rangers also, number two.
Whoa.
Second most disappointing team in baseball. They are the World Series champs. They're also 4 games under 500. They're an 8th wild card race. That means there's 6 teams between them and getting in.
Yeah.
They're 7.5 behind. But the one thing I'll say for the Rangers, they won 7 of the last 10. And they're only 5 back of Seattle in the division. But, yeah, Texas has to be the second most. All right, so if you have the first most and the same as me, then that's crazy. Who's your most disappointing team in baseball right now?
I'm tempted to say the Padres, but I'm not going to put them on the list.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say it's either between the Blue Jays or the Rays for me.
You can't go with the Padres when they've won about as many games as they were picked to win. Go ahead. Who's
Season's
your most disappointing team?
My most disappointing team would have to be the Rays. The Rays are in it every single year. The Rays always have a great record. The Rays are always at the top of the AL East. Not this year. They have been struggling this year. And Randy Arozarena is leading those struggles. So when your superstars struggle, your team's going to struggle. I'm going to say the Rays.
Tampa Bay, the most disappointing team in baseball, despite a record of 48-48. I will say this. They are minus 63 in run differential.
That's
which is
huge.
Pretty poor.
That is poor.
For a team of their normal capabilities.
Their XWL is 41-55, meaning.
Oh, my God.
Meaning.
Whatever that is.
They should be 41-55, according to the run differential.
Wow. My most disappointing team, you're going to laugh. The Atlanta Braves are the most disappointing team in baseball in the first half of the season. I realize
I'm going to laugh because I considered them, but they're second place. They're in the wild card.
They're 8.5 games behind the Phillies in a division that they are expected to win by 25 games. The Braves over-under numbers this year were right around 100 wins. Now, I know that they've had injuries, but that's part of the disappointment. Certainly losing Spencer Strider before it all started, losing Ronald Acuna, being without Michael Harris and whoever else. The Braves are my most disappointing team in the first half.
Well, if I knew I could pick a team that's already in the playoffs, I may have picked the Braves, but... All right. I mean, there are plenty of disappointing teams this year.
All right. Who do we have for the biggest surprise teams in baseball? And we'll start with you again. Who do you have as the third most surprising team in the first half?
I would say the third most surprising team in the first half would be the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Pirates. The Pirates.
The Pirates. Even though Paul Skeens is on their team and I apparently can't stand anything to do. I'm being mislabeled as a Paul Skeens hater. I am not.
You never say anything nice about the guy.
I am not a Paul Skeens the person hater. I am Paul Skeens portrayed in the media hater.
Okay.
Pirates, 48-48. They've been fighting all year. They've won 7 out of their last 10. I think Paul Skeens has reinvigorated that franchise. So, I didn't expect them to be 500 at the break, so I'm going to say them.
Pirates are only a game and a half out of a wild card spot. That's pretty good for the Pirates.
That's very good for the Pirates.
My third most surprising team in baseball this year is the Boston Red Sox, who have the same record as my most disappointing team, the Atlanta Braves. The Red Sox are 53-42. Did not expect them to be in contention this year. They've won 7 of the last 10. If you look at most of the preseason AL East prognostications, Boston was dead last. They're anything but that. As a matter of fact, they're in the playoffs if they started today. They also have the second most road wins in all of baseball.
Wow.
They've won 29 games in a row. Only the Yankees have won more.
That's a lot.
I'll take the Red Sox as my third most surprising team. Who do you have number two?
Looking at... The standings real quick. The Yankees are still 18 games over 500. If I were to, because I haven't really looked at the standings, I'm being dead serious. If I were to look at these standings and or look at what the Yankees fans have been saying, I would be like, what are you guys complaining about? I didn't realize time was going so fast, so I'm going to say my, should we carry this over, Chris?
Yeah, we'll have our top two most surprising teams in baseball when we come back.
What is this, a holiday? It's not a holiday, is it? It feels like a holiday.
See if anybody wants to play some Chris versus the fans out there. Win some trivia prizes. 833-288-0973. Today might be a good day to call because I just have a feeling there's going to be some lines wide open. Squint and Chris continues.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.